football player. Luke, I'm number 91. Oh, wait, that's 19.
You haven't heard that joke. That's the way it goes. All right. Fire me and hire somebody else.
But you're your fellowship as we now here will address the doctrine of stumbling, and include in this doctrine also stumbling blocks. As Peter has made clear, our surety, our guarantee to avoid stumbling in a permanent way, reversionism, is to employ the virtues that he has listed for us to maintain, sustain, and evidence spirituality in the Christian life. So it behooves us to review this doctrine. One, under introduction here, this doctrine, as some doctrines can be, is a subtle doctrine to understand and apply. B, the believer who is negative or not grasping the elementary doctrines and making the correct applications with regard to them will not be able to correctly grasp and assimilate this doctrine. Those who repudiate Bible doctrine, reject it under negative volition, otherwise try to field it under the SCA, obviously distort Bible doctrine, fail to truly appreciate it and grasp its nature of understanding as so designed. See, generally most Christians only perceive the concept of the stumbling blocks as applying in a negative or sinful way, which is obvious in regards to looking at stumbling in this way, that it's not the only way of which stumbling is perceived or defined in regards to the Scriptures. D, however, Scripture makes it clear that there are legitimate and non-legitimate stumbling blocks. Some stumbling blocks are based on righteousness, whereas, obviously, probably the majority is based on unrighteousness in regards to the Christian experience. E, stumbling exists in various degrees. F, there exists a form of stumbling from which one can recover, or one of a permanent fall from which there is no recovery. As we saw in regards to Israel, that they stumbled, obviously in a big way, nationally, over their Messiah, Jesus Christ, but their stumbling is not permanent or forever, as they will make national reversion recovery and essentially end up being the seat and rule of Jesus Christ's millennial kingdom and eternal kingdom in this respect. So, G, when dealing with the concept of stumbling and stumbling blocks, one must identify both the subject, the cause of stumbling, or the stumbling block itself, and the object, the one who stumbles. H, in every case, the one who stumbles is always culpable for their own stumbling. I, due to the doctrine of volition, each member of the human race is ultimately responsible for themselves. Though this does not give any excuse in regard to making someone stumble. But you will answer for your own person, ultimately, Matthew 18, 8 and 9. And if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It's better for you to enter life crippled or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast in eternal fire. Denoting that the stumbling is obviously essentially at the whim or power of the individual themselves on how they're going to deal with it. He's not literally saying cut off an appendage off your body, but metaphorically speaking, it would be better if obviously one of these items is that which kept you from making the salvation adjustment and embracing Bible doctrine. In verse 9, and if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the fiery hell. So J, the one who causes the stumbling may or may not be at fault in an unrighteous way, or may not be sinning. All right, Roman number 2 now, vocabulary that is used to note stumbling or stumbling blocks. A, in the Hebrew, one, we have the verb Chashal, C-H-A-S-H-A-L.
It's used 64 times.
Means to stumble, to waver or stagger, to cause to fall. When followed by a bait, the dog is forte there in the middle, the dot, it indicates the thing against which one stumbles. A, the noun kishalon, C-H-I-S-H-A-L-O-N, means a stumbling or a fall. B, then you had the noun mikeshol, M-I-C-E-S-H-O-L. It's used 14 times, that which anyone stumbles against, a stumbling block or an offense. Which stumbling block is an offense. Two, you had the verb ganaph, ganaph, G-N-A-G-A-P-H or F, means to strike or smite, use of the foot striking something that causes one to trip. Three, then you have the noun negeph, N-E-G-E-P-H, it's used 7 times. Striking, most often used of a plague or blow delivered by God. It's used 1 time with number 1B, the noun mikashol, as rock of offense above to indicate a stumbling stone in Isaiah 8:14. All right, B in the Greek, you have 1, the verb proskopto, P-R-O-S-K-O-P-T-O, used 8 times. Means to strike upon or against something, to stumble. It's used of rain, quote, pelting or bursting, quote, against something. A, the noun out of this family. We have sub-indentions that denotes the same family of words. Proskoma, the noun, P-R-O-S-K-O-M-M-A, used 6 times, means a stumbling block, an obstacle in the way that it is struck with the foot causes one to trip or stumble in an offense. B, you have the noun proskope, P-R-O-S-K-O-P-E, used 1 time, means an occasion of stumbling, an action that causes another to stumble or trip. B, C, then you have the negative of that, proskopos, A with the alpha beginning, P-R-O-S-K-O-P-O-S, the adjective is used 3 times. In the active sense, it is used of having nothing to strike against or not causing to stumble. 2, you have the verb petaio, P-T-A-I-O, used 5 times. In the transitive, it means, which is action, the subject takes a direct object, and it since means to cause one to stumble or fall. Intransitively, it means to stumble or fall. 3, you have the adjective aptistos, A-P-T-A-I-S-T-O-S, used 1 times. Again, the negated alpha at the beginning of the word means not stumbling or standing firm or securely. And then 4, you have the verb scandalizo, where we get scandalous or scandal from, S-K-A-N-D-A-L-I-Z-O, used 30 times, means to put a stumbling block in another's way to cause stumbling. A, you have the noun scandalon, S-K-A-N-D-A-L-O-N, used 15 times. Literally is used as a trigger or stick, and it activates a snare or trap. There's any impediment placed in the way of someone that causes him or her to stumble or fall. And again, I denote the family words here is where our term scandalize originates, B. All right, Roman numeral 3, a definition and description of applying stumbling and stumbling blocks in the spiritual realm. A, the physical realities of walking and the potential for striking the foot against some object that is capable of tripping the individual are used to portray spiritual realities. As a physical has lessons to teach in regards to the spiritual, so it is in regards to the Christian way of life, our Christian walk, and stumbling, as we might relate to it in a physical way. So B, walking is a conscience, conscious and deliberate action taken to move from one place to the other, and so implies both motion and progress towards a destination. See, walking is an ongoing action common to all normal humans, and so it's used in Scripture to describe the lifestyle of the positive and the negative. Ephesians 2:2, or a metaphorical use of walking, spiritual use, if you will, in this respect. Ephesians 2:2, and you were dead in your, verse 1, trespasses and sins, in your pre-salvation days in which you formerly walked, you conducted your life, your manner of life, according to the course of this air, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the course of this world, excuse me, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Compare Philippians 3, 17 and 18. Brothers, join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us, reflecting positive volition, those who are adjusted to Bible doctrine. For many walk in contrast to the positive, the negative, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. D, walking comes to mean the pursuit of a course of life and how one behaves or conducts themselves. E, as a stumbling block or stone, causes one to trip in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, the stumbling block is that which produces a reaction, stumbling or taking offense, perceived or real, and becomes a hindrance to others in their, quote, walk, end quote, in life, causing them to trip or fall by the way, distracts them, neutralizes them in regards to their spiritual advance or their spirituality in life. As a believer, sometimes the stumbling block is sinful, and it causes the positive of life to stumble. And sometimes the hindrance is righteous, and it causes the negative of life to stumble. G, adjusted believers should be made aware that they will experience stumbling and be even sinful stumbling blocks to others in their Christian life, as James declares that we all stumble in many ways. And obviously, if we're prone to sin, that sin can have an effect to cause another to stumble in regards to their own lives in this respect. So, H, this does not mean that we have a license to be such, but it's simply a reality of the Christian battle with the STA, part of growing up spiritually, aligning and embracing grace in the Christian life is the willingness to forgive and forget. In regards to believers' incidental sinnings that may be directed towards us or impact us in an indirect way otherwise, you cannot go through life continually holding a grudge in regards to people and expect to advance yourself in regards to the Christian experience, as Jesus Christ Himself made it very clear. If you're not willing to forgive others, then He will not forgive you. Obviously, this does not mean that you turn a blind eye in regards to the stupidity or the actions of the individual who might otherwise sin against you. You know, obviously, if someone continually engages in a particular sin, then you're a wise individual to seek to eliminate that potential, if at all possible. If it's obviously interfering or causing you to stumble in your own Christian life. A lot of times, obviously, people's sins are as such that, you know, it just really doesn't have a direct effect. But sometimes it does. And that often becomes a big battle for the otherwise adjusted believer to overcoming that in their own life and not letting it eat at them, and constantly keep them out of fellowship because they're not willing to move on in our own Christian lives and let it be water under the bridge, so to speak. And how often has the mental attitude of holding a grudge, maintaining animosity towards others because of certain actions that may have come our way, cause other believers to trip and fall in their own Christian life because they're not willing to apply the same grace that I guarantee you each and every one of us would hope someone would apply to us if we were in the opposite shoes in that respect. And again, like I said, it doesn't mean that when you say forgive and forget, it doesn't mean that you totally forget either. And your brain keeps working. You know, the memories come up. You can't help that on occasion. But it means that you adopt the attitude that, you know, if it does, you're quick to rebound it, number one. And you seek to try not to let it get beyond your mental attitude and your interaction with others otherwise. People that may do something bad, and it happens even in adjusted churches, believe that or not. Even where sound doctrine is being taught, believe that or not. People will offend others. And part of our spiritual growth process is not only through the assimilation, but through the Bible doctrine, that growing in knowledge, but it's also growing in grace and a willingness to be oriented and acclimate to the facts of life and the incidental as well as hardcore sinning, reversionistic sinning that may occur and influence us or impact us directly or indirectly in our Christian life. So stumbling blocks are out there. We all stumble ourselves in many ways. And just like it is in a marriage, the husband and wife are not going to be perfect in regards to one another. But part of the secret is everybody in the world tries to look for the secrets of a successful marriage. Well, try getting on Bible doctrine and using Bible doctrine as your standard of life. You might come close to finding that secret. But otherwise, it demands give and take. It demands forgiving and maintaining, obviously, their unity. When someone does something that they're not willing to forgive, then you have separation that occurs and a lot of times ultimately divorce. So as it is in a marital sense and being a part of the family, we are a royal family. We must always keep this in front of us and not let these things deter how we ultimately deal with others in this respect. And sometimes, again, the stumbling can be even in a righteous way. And, of course, that is even worse, to take issue with someone who is causing you, quote, to stumble because they're applying Bible doctrine is a whole different ball of wax than them, you know, not applying Bible doctrine and sinning and causing you to stumble. Roman numeral 4, now we have types of stumbling blocks, the different types, as I already started my exhorting upon. There's legitimate stumbling blocks. There are situations that the stumbling block and the one placing it are righteous and in line with Bible doctrine. 2, God the Father has constituted His Son, Jesus Christ, as a stumbling block to those who are negative in their life. They stumble over His person in repudiation or rejection of His person. Isaiah 8, 14 through 15. Messianic here, verse 14. Then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over. As he obviously was at the first advent, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many will stumble over them. Then they will fall and be broken. They will even be snared and caught. Compare 28:16. Isaiah. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, the very principle we dealt with in 1 Peter, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. he believes in it will not be disturbed. On the other end of the coin, you can either be positive and embrace him, and he is then the blessing that he is so designed to be, or you can repudiate him, reject him under negative volition, and it becomes a stumbling block. Romans 9, 32-33. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, Israel, in regards to their approach to the law, but as though it were by works, the legalistic approach that they took in regards to the law and salvation, rather than by faith, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Just as it is written, behold, as Isaiah 28:16 is brought out here, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Luke 3:34. Christ crucified to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. And then, as we saw in 1 Peter 2:7-8, it is the foundation stone that causes negative volition to stumble. Three, God has designed his plan so that Bible doctrine is a stumbling block to negative volition, to include believers. You take the truth of God's word, you introduce it to volition that's not willing to embrace it and accept it, believe it, then it becomes a stumbling block in regards to any approach they have in life with respect to their eternal condition. John 6:60-61 was true for unbelievers, same truth of salvation phase one, obviously. It's true for believers, phase 2 gospel. 6:60-61. Many, therefore, in regards to Jesus' teaching of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can accept it? But Jesus, conscious the disciples complained concerning this, said to him, does this cause you to stumble? Obviously, the teaching was him being the bread of life. You must partake of him. Obviously, to participate with respect to this person. Eating his body, drinking his blood, which was metaphorical. And the sluggishness of the disciples spiritually are not able to translate it and interpret it in its metaphorical sense and take it literally. In the essence, does this cause you to stumble? Does Bible doctrine cause you to stumble? The reason why it's causing them to stumble is because they're not gapping it. Mark 4:17. So if a doctrine causes you to stumble, the problem is in the gap process, not in the doctrine. in regards to the sower and the seed, Bible doctrine, communicator doctrine, and the volition that it attaches itself or is planted in regards to believers. Some believers hear it, they receive it with joy, but they do not embrace phase two doctrine for any significant length of time, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary, verse 17. Then when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. That term fall away means causes to stumble. It's our verb, skandalizo, in the Greek. Before the cross is a stumbling block to the pride of the legalist. Galatians 5:11. For those who think they can attain to God's standards of His plan based on their own righteousness, relative righteousness, hence the legalist in this regards, while Christ is on the cross, going to the cross and taking on the judgment of all sins of all men, becomes a stumbling block to them. Galatians 5:11, the Church of Galatia were infiltrated with Judaizers, those who said you not only got to believe, you got to keep the law. And Paul has to reorient them, line them back out. But I, brothers, verse 11, if I still proclaim circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In regards to his approach to the gospel, you know, they said you got to keep the law and be circumcised. In the stumbling block, the cross has been abolished. And Paul does not go that direction. His salvation by faith and faith alone. Compare 6:12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these false teachers, try to compel you to be circumcised simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, which he is persecuted by these individuals. 5, God lays stumbling blocks without sin under the concept of testing for negative volition, knowing that they will fall over them due to their rejection of his plan through his foreknowledge. Obviously, he knows who's ultimately negative and positive. Jeremiah 6, 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. Jeremiah 6, 16. Where the good way is, and walk in it. You shall find rest for your souls. But they, the Jews, said, we will not walk in it. In regards to the doctrine that's been handed down through generations from the beginning of the time. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. In regards to spiritual wake-up calls, called spiritual arms, things of this nature. And they disregard that. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. For what purpose does frankincense come to me from Sheba, and the sweet come from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, and your sacrifices are not pleasing to me. As they would go out and get the proper ingredients for their temple worship, etc. It's just genuflecting, because there's no spiritual reality attached to it. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am laying stumbling blocks before this people, and they will stumble against them, fathers and sons together, and neighbor and friend will perish. Ezekiel 3:19-20, dealing with Ezekiel's commission.
Ezekiel
Yet if you have warned the wicked, and it does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way, he will die in his iniquity. But you have delivered yourself as a prophet, faithful prophet, communicator of God's word, even if it's information that people don't want to hear, and they want to repudiate it. Just understand your faithfulness, Mr. Communicator, is that which delivers you, in spite of what anybody else will do. And again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him under testing, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. And that is, you know, the purpose of communicating Bible doctrine. It's not to entertain people and to facilitate any intellectual interest in regards to this. It's to appeal to positive volition. While obviously you will teach to anyone who will give it an ear. As I've stated in the past, and I will probably state again, I'm here primarily for the purpose of positive volition, for those who want to know the truth, are willing to, obviously, utilize it to effectuate the Christian life and honor before God. And if I fail to do that as a communicator, then, and there is positive volition in front of me, that's even more detrimental in regards to my position as a pastor than it would be that if I was a pastor of a funding church, per se, and everybody was negative. You don't jack with positive volition. That's just the way it is in regards to, as a communicator, truth of Bible doctrine. You don't lead positive volition down an erroneous path in life and be a stumbling block to them in that fact, in that way. With the authority comes responsibility. And we've seen the teaching in regards to communicators that those who are culpable and still repudiate doctrine or go off the straight and narrow in their own ministries, their stripes will be many versus just a few for idiots in general. To have Bible doctrine, to have the frame of reference, to be taught correctly in regards to the hermeneutics, the exegesis of Scripture, to know the right thing to do in regards to God's plan, and not enforce it and not communicate it and not teach it, is a level of culpability that demands and deserves more retribution. A kid that does something wrong one time versus a kid that keeps doing it over and over and over. You know, obviously, the one that is recalcitrant and won't line up eventually needs their butt blistered twice as bad there as a, you know, at the beginning. And hence the culpability factor. That's something that as pastors, they should always keep in mind. I'll try to remember this myself. B. Now you have non-legitimate stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks that obviously are based on sin activity, human viewpoint, etc. One, these are circumstances in which the stumbling block and the one placing it are sinful, unrighteous. Two, false teachers and the false doctrine that they teach are a source of stumbling. Again, Ezekiel 44, 9 through 12. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner uncircumcised in heart. That's language to indicate isolation of the STA. And uncircumcised in flesh, in regards to lining up with God's word and the law. If all the foreigners who are among the sons of Israel shall enter my sanctuary. But the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray. Levites were the priests. Those responsible to observe and administer Bible doctrine in regards to Israel in its form of worship. And they got off the straight and narrow. When Israel went astray, they obviously are directly associated with the national atmosphere spiritually. in this regards, who went astray from me after their idols, shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, have no oversight of the gates of the house, and ministering in the house. They shall slaughter the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they will stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols, and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel, therefore I have sworn against them, declares the Lord God, that they will bear the punishment for their iniquity. Malachi 2:1. Aspect of the Old Testament. And now this commandment is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, they're the ones in charge of Bible class, see? If you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, said the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to the heart. Not taking Bible doctrine seriously in regards to your own priesthood. Compare verses 7 and 9, for the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge. The responsibility of the communicator of doctrine, preserve knowledge. And men should seek instruction from his mouth. That's why I'm here, to give you instruction in regards to God's word in its interpretational form. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way, and you have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, corrupted their office, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despise and abase before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction, in the law. Matthew 16:6-12. Jesus said to them, disciples, watch out and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The false doctrine that they employ in regards to their authoritative priestly roles to Israel. Verse 12, did they understood that he did not say to beware the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Took a little bit to gap that one. Revelation 2:14-15. And the message given to the church of Pergamum, the period under Constantine of the church, as well as the literal church. 14-15, but I have a few things against you, because you had there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, this false teaching. Balaam was a prophet, but otherwise at one point in time was positive that he got under greed and sold out merchandise to the Word of God, if you will, for his own material benefit, as we have read, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit acts of immorality. Thus, you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans, another brand and form of false teaching. 3, SE activity can be a source of stumbling for those inside and outside the local church. Obviously, we can cause one another to stumble, or we can cause those who don't even go to Bible class to stumble. You know, like idiots that walk down the road with crosses on wheels trying to go across the United States and people driving by. Christianity is a goofy religion. You know. And they think that they're, you know, just really great. 1 Corinthians 10:32, the street corner preachers, all these yahoos, to put it mildly. That's better than what I call it when I roll down the window. What I thought. I don't think I ever verbally did that. 10:32, 1 Corinthians. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God. That covers the entire gamut of, if you will, in biblical language, of the population of the world, including the household of faith. Here, Acts 24:16. Paul and his presentation to the king, Felix, 24:16. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before men, both before God and before men. 2 Corinthians 6:3. Give you no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited. So for one's own STA can cause him or herself to stumble. You can be your own, and often we are, worst stumbling block via your STA. Again, back to Ezekiel, Old Testament. Ezekiel 14, 3 and 4. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God: any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, within his mind, within his thinking, via his STA. As we know, the idols or whatever the FCA wants it to be puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity. It is as close as it gets in regards to stumbling blocks. Then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to him, give him an answer in that matter in view of the multitude of his idols. In order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged from me through all their idols. Matthew 18, 8 and 9. Again, the aspect of your hand or foot or eye causing you to stumble, representing the STA. 5, making it an issue out of non-essentials before a weaker believer causes that believer to stumble. We have certain freedoms in Christ. And for one who may not have a strong frame of reference regards to doctrine, sit there and take issue with them in regards to things that are not really truly essential in regards to their spiritual advance, etc., legalism, a form of legalism, that is in and of itself a stumbling block to that individual. Romans 14, 13 and 20 and 21, here he centers on the issue of holidays, also centers on the issue of what one eats. All things in the church age are clean, and whether it's sacrificed or not, that is of no issue as long as you sanctify the food. You're good to go and to eat it. But obviously those Jews who may have come out from underneath the law and still have yet to gap these freedoms now available in the church age under which they had to operate otherwise in the age of Israel, to make these things issues before them, to place it in a way that you know it would cause him to stumble. You know, we might use drinking in this regards. Someone comes out of a legalistic background, believes that drinking is a sin, and you know it. And, you know, you don't go grab your bottle and walk in front of them and do shots. You do it first and then go walk in front of them. Just don't do it in front of them. Don't make them stumble. Matthew 14, 13 through 20 through 21, Paul deals with this. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Sometimes you do have to walk on eggshells. Now, we may not like that, but that's part of our priesthood, our responsibility when you're around weaker believers. Now, we're not talking about someone who's heard the doctrine, had plenty of opportunity to gap in, or just repudiating it. We're not dealing with that kind of individual. We're dealing with those who are new to doctrine, as we would say. Also 20 and 21, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. In other words, if it violates their conscience, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. And then 1 Corinthians 8, 9. But take care lest this liberty or freedom of Christ of yours somehow becomes a stumbling block to the weak. To diminish your impact of witness. And especially if there are someone who's otherwise positive and you can't control your own STA and cause them to stumble in regards to doctrine, the local church, etc. All right, we'll pick this up Tuesday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.